I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Welcome to cold, wet, grey January afternoon in South Bermondsey for the FA Cup action. The visitors are, of course, our near neighbours and despised rivals from Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace. Two teams just coming onto the pitch, as you can tell. A sellout crowd, hot atmosphere, dear listeners. Your Millwall team today in goal today, George Long, Barfield Kosky taking a week off. Back line will be Sean Hutchinson, Jake Cooper and Alex Pearce. Some debate online about Alex Pearce, but it's Pearce, Hutch and Cooper in the back three. Either side of them, Danny Mack and Scott Malone. In midfield, Billy Mitchell, George Saville up front today. No Jed Wallace, Andy, Che Ojo starts, Billy Gafobe and Tom Bradshaw. On the bench, Jed Wallace on the bench, make it up what you will. We have Bart, Nathan Bell-Smith, Bennett, Evans, Bury, turned back from Hartlepool, Boateng, Topoloy and Zach Lovelace. Crystal Palace have apparently named a full-strength side, anticipating exactly what they're getting, which is a hostile stadium today. Some decent names in their side, but we're not going to be bothered about them. Their Premier League outfit assembled at some cost. We're very much the underdogs today, dear listeners. I think it's got to be said. But then is the wild card. Let's see how it plays out, and it's live on ITV. What can possibly go wrong? Dear listeners, well, all we're asking really is the 100% commitment that the crowd are going to give this afternoon. That's all we want from the players too. Give us that and we'll be happy. Win, lose or draw. No draw today, incidentally. It's the FA Cup this season. He's played to a finish or penalty shootout. Big story of the week, of course, the imminent departure, it seems, of Jed Wallace, whether to Nottingham Forest or elsewhere, we remain to be seen. He's not in today's squad. Matt Smith, also stories about him going to Wigan, which you'll see. But today's all about the FA Cup and the eternal underdog versus Premier League side storyline that we all love. Lions will be attacking the away end in the first half in accordance with English law and legislation since the time of the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles, written by the Venerable Bede himself. A lot of bants online, a lot of build-up. But today, it's going to be all about who brings it. Fireworks. That's got to be from the Palace end. There was a wonderful story about their ultras buying black jackets or some nonsense like that to come here, but none scarves or colours. I'll take it, it was a firework, not a gunshot. go. Pyro, it was pyro. Smoke drifting across the den now as the game gets underway. To the derision of the Millwall supporters, certainly. So Millwall have already rejected two derisory offers from Nottingham Forest for Jed Wallace. Whether they're going to come back with a valuation that meets the clubs, I don't know. I was seeing 1.2 million seems exceptionally cheap for a player of his quality, but we will see, of course. Early ball out of defence. There goes Shay Ojo. We thought he might have had a touch of handball there, but he's got away with that. It's coming down the right wing. Bradshaw's in the middle, just inside the first minute. Ball into Millwall. That's going to be an early corner for the Lions. Deflected on the right side. It's Scott Malone that takes it over on the right side. In it comes. It's deep. It's just swirling. In. It's hit the crossbar. Gone for a goal kick. Almost went straight in from Scott Malone. A lot of youngsters on the bench this afternoon, dear listeners. There was a story on News at Den. London News Online about Gary Rowett not expecting to fill the bench for the FA Cup tie. It could be a real defensive headache. Murray Wallace is not available for us today. I think his partner is with child, and he's there for the birth of his baby. So I think that's fair enough. I think I might have put a hex on Jake there. He's just put it straight into touch in 6 minutes. Distinctive aroma of Balkan Sobrani wafts across the den, or whatever it is. Chelsea rent boy. Who's that? Gallagher's back into the fray. Great tackle there by Sean Hutchinson. Midfield wins the ball for Danny Mack on the right side, halfway inside. Palace half attacking run by Danny Mack. Can he get the ball in? It's clattered off a Palace heel for Millwall throwing. Over on the right side, comes with 13 minutes. It's been really all Millwall in truth since the game has started. That early corner that hit the crossbar from Scott Malone, and then that chance for Benik Afobe, which unfortunately put over. But apart from that, it's been a bright start by the Lions for me anyway. All the way back to the Palace goalkeeper. He's under pressure. He's got Tom Bradshaw. He's doing Benik Afobe. What the hell? Benik caps his ears to the Palace appalled. Mistake by the goalkeeper in front of his own goal. Lions falls away at the early goal. 1-0 Millwall. Listeners, the den explodes. Bennett giving a bit of the old do what to the Palace end. Hopefully that will play on that goalkeeper's mind and he might make another mistake. Let's hope so. Or perhaps he could have a psychological breakdown completely. Maybe Palace, I don't know, we'll see. Early lead for the Lions, 18 minutes gone, dear listeners. Tackles are crunching in now. Well, if Palace wonder what a derby match against Millwall might be like, they might have said they had an idea, but they're certainly getting it this afternoon. All breaks again, midfields, it's Benik Afobe. Spreads it wide left, Sean Hutchinson, then we're going in, Danny McNair just crossing into the Palace half. All the way back to Jules Long. Jake Cooper on a little dribbling run there. Reminiscence of Stanley Matthews himself. Here comes Danny Mack, he finds Shay Ojo, 19 minutes, ball into the box. Panic stations by the Palace defence, they put it into touch. Lions are on fire at the moment, but then it's ablaze! Passing the 20-minute mark, it's been all Millwall so far, Dennis is leading 1-0. Justifiably, in my opinion. Palace have shown us very little so far, but a long way to go yet. of them, I think, dear listeners. It was like an ultras leaked message with one of their WhatsApp groups. Apparently the deal was to meet at a pub called the Albion, somewhere in South Norwood. No colours, no showy behaviour, but everyone was going to wear black jackets. I presume there's a lot of them wearing black jackets over. I haven't looked. We were pressing very high so far, dear listeners. It's working well for us. The Palace do pass their way forwards here. This is the 23, that's Gallagher, isn't it? There's the 11, with a bit of space for them to run into. This should be a great save, George Long. That shot was on target. That's going to go for a corner. Put behind by, I think, Alex Pierce. That was a strong save by George Long. They gave the 11 time and space to run and shoot, and he would cause damage if you give him that time and space. Good save there. Keeps the lines in it. Scott Malone's going to take this on 27 minutes. And it comes. It's swinging away from the goalkeeper. It's nicely done. Just ran away from everybody there slightly. Shot from distance, skidding shot, I think it was Ojo. I wonder if he's taken my advice and started to rely on his confidence a little bit more. I really do believe he has. I believe he's an avid listener to the show and has decided that what Nick says, football-wise, is what goes. That's my firm belief, dear listeners. Our main problem with them seems to be if we give them time and space. I mean, that might be stating the obvious, but then I'm a football fan of knowledge. And if you give them time and space, their nearest chance for that shot that was saved well by Long in goal came as a consequence of slackness and giving them, you know, that little bit of that moment. It is nice to have a bit of a break from league action, the glamour of the cup, full house, bigger, you know, derby opponents, make a change from the somewhat inconsistent grind of the league. I like the FA Cup. I think ask any fan, really. I know it's become slightly tarnished in the modern game, but you know, this is a great occasion, and it makes a real you know, it illuminates the season so far. It's not been a great season one way or the other, but today is one of those big moments, and this is what we come to football for, dear listeners. Great tackle there. Shot wide in distance. Gallagher, the 23. That was about a yard wide left from distance. Palace pressing forwards now from midfield. Ball into the right side. It isn't quite clear. The 7 picks it up about halfway inside the middle half. He's tried to put the ball into the danger area. It's gone for a goal kick, thankfully. We've looked at our most problem prone when we've given Palace time and space in about the kind of halfway point of our half. They pass the ball very well, they find players in space, and you know, if we continue to allow them to shoot from distance, then we will get problems. That's not an argument for Gary Rowett to bring on many defensive players, but we just need to maybe focus on that mid half area when they're coming at us. It's nice to see some new flags. I think the club have invested in some new flags up on the Docker Stand flagpoles. There's a pristine looking St George's cross and two blue flags with lions on them. They look new. The old ones were looking a little bit like they've been for the Battle of Trafalgar or something. There's a half-time break. Really good half of football by Millwall. We're leading at half-time. I think we've been the better side, to be honest with you, where we've allowed Palace to have time and space, as I've said a few times. Then they've certainly, you know, they've shown some danger. But apart from that George Long goal, nothing really to report from the Crystal Palace side. Good goal won by them, farting about in front of their own goal, put home nicely by Benfica at the half-time break. So 1-0 Millwall.
Achtung, Mehlball.
teams are coming out for the second half, dear listeners. Here come Millwall, Palace out already. Lions leading at the break, clearly. Big half ahead of Millwall for this second half. You're going to expect Palace to come out as more than they really did in the first half. They must be quite disappointed with the way they played in the first 45 minutes. I thought that was very much Millwall's half. The only time that we looked anywhere near in danger is where, as I've said already, where we've given Palace time and space inside our own half to play the ball backwards and forwards. That's their strength. So if we can tighten up on that, keep it, you know, maintain the lead, then who knows? Millwall going to be attacking a cold blow in the second half. And away we go. Palace do bring the ball here. This is Gallagher. Pass the ball over to the right side. They will probably look to explore. That's a shot. Equaliser. Shot in from the right side. In off the post. One each inside the first minute of the second half. Just what we didn't want. As we've said a few times across the first half, when they move the ball backwards and forwards, they are a dangerous side. Substitution, George Evans, never a good sight. George Evans coming into the game after the display up there at Bristol City. The other day. Kieftenbelt, sorry, not Evans. I withdraw those remarks. Kieftenbelt comes in, substitute for the injured, clearly Saville, Jules Saville. That is coming down the right now. This is where they've done damage before. Another opportunity in the same. Oh, he's at the post. Same shot, same move. He's at the post. Wow. Lions dodge a bullet. 51 minutes. Almost exactly the same move and goal. Breaks. This is now Palace coming down the Millwall right again. The same player did damage for the first goal. Over the bar. He's been looking very, very dangerous. Seven. Etsy. Might not be Etsy. I think I'm in danger of calling everyone Etsy. I haven't got the team sheet. Lions looking very vulnerable down our left, dear listeners. The Palace right, Millwall left. Ball down for Shea Ojo. It's been a good game for Shea Ojo, actually, I think, so far. 57 minutes. Ball back to Sean Hutchinson. He's got Danny McNamara inside. This is now Billy Mitchell. Just can't quite feed the ball through to a Afobe now. Allowing Palace now the chance to break, dear listeners. They've looked dangerous on the break in this second period. Here he comes down the right. He's murdering Jake, this player. 2-1, 14 from close. Flair comes on the pitch as well as a few snap bottles of Snapple over there on the far side. Player was celebrating from the Mill fans and unfortunately that'll be picked up on camera, dear listeners. As will this flare that's smouldering away. 2-1 the Palace. Deserved. Can't deny that. There must be fireworks night in Croydon tonight. All floated forwards. Lions just running into cul-de-sacs in this second half so far, Dennis. I'm not sure what we've got on the bench to change it. We've got some young players out there. Whether it's the atmosphere and time and place to throw them into it, I don't know. Who's this? Mason Bennett's coming in. Alex Pearce is coming out. Attacker for a defender. Well, can't complain of that. He's not played badly for me, this game, Pearce, but certainly in the second half we've been found wanting. I presume that means we'll go 4-4-2, I'm guessing. A very well thrown bottle of Lucozade seems to have hit him on the head. You see, this is not going to play well. I feel an FA inquiry coming, dear listeners. All slammed around for the distance, that's put over the bar. from the D, from the corner. 66 minutes. Halfway through the second half, I've got to say that Mill have been very much second best in this second period. This is obviously now 2-1 behind, having led at the half-time break, as per the template for the season. Pretty good first half, but we've not seen anything like it in the second. Palace, I suppose you could say, are playing to their strengths, movement and pace and power, and we haven't really had much to answer to that. Struggled to find any way through, really. That ball along there is not good. It does fall to Mason Bennett. That was a poor defensive header there, over on the left side now. Little 1-2, Mason Bennett coming down the left. What can he do? Ball into the middle, bouncing around, cleared by the Palace defence. Little moment there, dear listeners, coming to 72 minutes. Milan's bring the ball back. This is how to do it. The crowd will get behind you. Ojo now on the right, 73rd minute. Ball floated into the middle, no one there. Mill just showing a little glimpse of hopefully a better last 17 minutes now. Pressing further forwards, crunching tackles. Palace taking their time. They've got themselves in front by playing to their strength. That will be our strength, dear listeners. They play to their strength, we play to our strength. Brings the crowd into the game. Bradshaw coming out. Who's just coming in? Boateng, I think, is it? And Bury coming in. Okay. It's going to be a long throw. I imagine a Billy Mitchell long throw. And it comes. It's to the near post. It goes skidding around. No one in particular. It comes back to Billy Mitchell on the right now. He puts the cross in. There's a header ball. Oh! Across the face of goal. Almost with the fairy sign of Boateng from the goal there. This is the 20 on the edge of the penalty area. The 22. Shot is blocked. That should be taken by Jules Long. And is. Last chance alone. Long ball forward, surely. We've got 30 seconds on my watch. Ball falls to Bury, puts the ball out wide. Billy Mitchell. Mason Bennett pulling on the right. He's got the ball into the middle. Matt Smith faded into the arms of the goalkeeper. I think that's it, dear listeners. That was the chance. There we are. As the rain starts to beat down in Bermondsey, I think that's it now, dear listeners. 5 minutes are up on my watch. Free kick from Millwall, maybe one last go. We'll see how much time we get now. Great support Millwall. Launched forwards, this will be last chance of them. It's headed up and away. There it is. Finishes 2-1 to Crystal Palace, probably deservedly so in the big picture, but Millwall certainly acquitted themselves well for me over the course of the first 45 and then the end period of the second half. Lot to take out of that game, in my opinion, not least the introduction of Tyler Bury late in the game. Otherwise, we were just a little bit exposed, I think, by what we might have expected at the start of the game, which was the pace and power of Crystal Palace after the break. But there we are. I think it's a game we can hold our heads up high and has the cup dealt with. Concentrate on that all-important league. We'll be back after these messages, dear listeners.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hello, Acton. Really unlucky today, I felt, apart from 15 minutes of quality. I wish they just would not show Olise on his left side all the time. He just shifted in. It was like a bombardment in the second half. But overall, I think this performance says that when Jed moves on, I don't think we've got anything to worry about. We've got a half decent side that can stay in the Championship at the very least. There's not really much to worry about, I think, going forward, as long as we can keep Afobe and potentially someone similar to Ojo, who I think is starting to grow into himself in the club. Danny McNamara, what a player. Absolutely must have today. And just hope that, you know, if we do end up seeing Danny McNamara, I'm not saying now, but in years to come, that he is a saleable asset. We need to strike while the iron's hot to further strengthen the team, I think. It's so early to say to sell him, but this is probably the next kid that I would say is going to be worth millions for us, and we need to start changing the mentality of the club to think, right, we need to start growing the team instead of running down contracts and then selling our best players for a pittance. That's got to stop at Millwall. We've just got to be forward thinking and be brave enough to let go of our stars to bring in better players, or more better players, which really does come down to the recruitment team. They need to pull their finger out. We haven't got Alex Aldridge or Neil Bullivan pulling the strings anymore. We've got someone new who should have some kind of type of nous to bring in better players, and that's all going to be down to them and Gary Rowett. Let's hope we can start moving on and maybe flirt with the playoffs. Who knows? Come on, you Lions.
So, walking back via the Ilderham Roadway, because the old Bill wouldn't let us walk through by the Lions Centre to get to the Sealwood where my car's parked. So, it's a long walk back after a 2-1 defeat to Crystal Palace to down the FA Cup. In truth, there were things you could take away from the game that we could have done better, but I think considering the way our squad's been hit with COVID, the way some of our players haven't been fit when they have returned from COVID, and generally the depth of our squad compared to Crystal Palace's, I think that it was a real battling performance from Millwall. Wasn't the prettiest, and I think if it was a game where it could be a draw and you got a point, obviously that would have been a fairer result for me. But I think aside from the opening 10 minutes of the second half, we were definitely in that game for large parts. I did say when Afobe missed his first one in the first half, that he had a great chance that he put over the bar, that it will be chances like that that will cost us the game ultimately, and that will be the difference between Millwall and Crystal Palace, and that's what it was, because you put that away, it's 2-2. you know, and it's a completely different game then, or it would have been to, should I say. But I think that, in a nutshell, is how the game was. Palace had three, maybe four, very good chances in that opening 10 minutes of the second half. Two went in, one hit the post, and one went over, but had George Long beat. Millwall had a lot of half chances, and generally didn't take them. There were a few moments in the game where I thought that we lacked, obviously, the quality, in the sense that I think there was one time we linked up about sort of like 15 to 20 passes, but we're still on the halfway line when you're 2-1 down. Now, I appreciate keeping the ball is what you need to do, and, you know, build up attacks and everything like that, but it's a cup game where you're the underdog, so you sort of think half chuck everything at Palace. A great atmosphere in the ground. I think both sets of fans, I mean, Palace only got really into the game fan-wise when they scored, but, you know, both fans made a great day of it. As always in the FA Cup, it's just a disappointing result, but we look to the league now and what's going to happen in this window. So, overall disappointed to have lost, don't get me wrong, because always like the FA Cup, I'm one of the old-fashioned types who do. But you can't be too disappointed with the performance the boys put in. It was dogged, it was determined, we tried. But in this instance, it just wasn't enough. But come on your lines.
Hi, Nick. It's Matt Richards. Just driving back from that game. And, yeah, I mean, obviously disappointed, but I was really pleased with the performance. You know, I think against the Premier League team, you know how much money their team's worth. I thought, you know, we competed really well in the first half. You can see the skill they've got. You know, they can just make space and run into space. But the first half, we pressured them well, and I thought, you know, fair enough. You know, I thought win, you know, going in 1-0 half time was a good result. And second half, I know, yeah, obviously the start of it is really disappointing, the goals. But honestly, I can't fault the team or the management for any of that. You know, the effort was there. You know, we've got to give these players a chance. You know, Billy made a couple of mistakes, but he's a young kid. He's one of our best players. We need to stick with him. You know, I thought Tyler Bury coming on did really well. Danny Mack was superb. I can't really fault any of the team, really, to be fair. You know, even like, you know, Dodgy Pierce at the back, you know, I think he done okay in the first half or you know, whilst he was on the pitch. So 2-1, you know, desperate to beat Palace. I couldn't care less getting to the fourth round of the cup. I just wanted to beat Palace. But, you know, I'm happy with that performance, you know, and if we can do that week in, week out, and that's the magic question, because we just can't do that. But if we could, then I think we'd have a really good team. But anyway, come on, you Lions. We're going to the next game. Cheers.
Mike Hayden there, following that 2-1 defeat in the Cup to Crystal Palace. Obviously disappointing to lose. I think on the whole, we can be very proud of the performance over 90 minutes. We matched them for the high majority of the game. Certainly in the first half, Palace showed no arsehole, really didn't show up at all. And I think we were there and we had some good chances. Obviously, really forced that error from Jack Butland and a tidy finish from Afobe to put us one up. And we looked comfortable in that first half. And I think that was what was so disappointing, to concede 30 seconds into the second half. And that really got Palace's tails up then, and they had a really good spell for about 15 minutes where they turned it on and they looked like that sort of Premier League team that you might have been expecting. And obviously we struggled to cope. I thought, not Malone's fault, but he was really exposed on that left. And obviously we struggled to deal with that Alese or whatever his name is. But then, you know, when they did go 2-1, when we came back into the game a lot, to be honest, and had a good few goes at their defence and some good half chances, which on another day could have fallen for the right person, or even when Boateng came on, maybe he could have just got there and poked that home. What a story that would have been. But, you know, if it had gone to extra time, I certainly wouldn't have said that would have been undeserved, because I think, you know, we matched them for most of the game and played well on the whole. So that's why it's disappointing. I'm pleased that we had a good go today. And it's just disappointing that we just couldn't quite get enough to sort of get it to extra time in the end. Individual performances, I think, yeah, it's Bradshaw good again. I think Afobe put himself about, faded a bit in the second half. Thought Bury looked really bright when he came on. It was an excellent cross. And I think the difference between Bury and Ojo is Bury actually wants to take a man on, and he can do that with the ability he's got. Whereas Ojo, you know, put himself about and sort of looked a bit dangerous at times, but he just always sort of looks to either win a foul or sort of actually pass back and play the safe option. You know, if I'm Gary Rowett, I'd much rather have Tyler Bury in my side than Ojo. Obviously made quite a few changes throughout the game, and you know, I guess they did make a positive impact. Saville forced off. I thought Keefton Bell came on and played well. I was joking to the bloke beside me that he was a red card waiting to happen, and funnily enough, the first thing that he did was foul someone, but fortunately Keith actually sort of toned it down a little bit. But I thought he played well actually when he came on, certainly much more assured than sort of Evans at Bristol City. But yeah, it's a good atmosphere at the Den today, and I think the crowd definitely appreciated the effort at the end. I mean, to lose to your rivals is obviously shit, but you know, I think we can be proud of the performance against, you know, a pretty good Premier League side, if we're honest. So yeah, there we go. Unfortunately, no upset today, but we definitely didn't disgrace ourselves, and yeah, there we go. So on to the next one. Come on, you Lions.
Achtung. Mehlball.
Huge welcome now to Matt to the show in the aftermath of that 2-1 loss to Crystal Palace at the Den this afternoon. Matt, I don't know about you, mate, but I'm feeling strangely okay about the game overall. I felt we actually, there was a lot of good positive points that came out of what should normally be a fairly gutting home defeat to our near neighbour rivals. How did you see this afternoon's performance, mate?
Yeah, first of all, good evening to you, Nick.
Good evening to you, mate.
Yeah, and I think what you've got to understand before sort of tackling the question of this fixture in particular is the Crystal Palace that we played 9 years ago are not the same side. The same side we face today. They've solidified themselves as a Premier League side. And if you think of the archetypal Premier League side, you're probably looking at something like Palace, like Stoke were for many years, sort of mid-table, no danger of sort of threatening the European places, but no real danger of facing relegation as well. And I, to be honest, we've had a sort of disruptive few weeks, haven't we? In terms of players out with COVID. I thought we were. Especially in the first half, we were well worth the battle. I thought we absolutely competed for everything with them in that first half. And if you said to a neutral who was the mid-table Championship side, who was the mid-table Premier League side, I don't think you'd be able to distinguish, really.
No, you make a very good point regarding the resources available to both clubs. I mean, I think it hits the nail on the head. I mean, Palace are never going to be challenging for top four, top six spots in, I don't see them in the Premier League, but they've used their income, the vast income of the Premier League, well enough to build a very decent side. And we got a glimpse of that. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, the first half was, I think I described it as all Millwall at the end of it. There was one shot, I think, that George Long batted away from, it was like a shot from distance, and he put it behind. Mm. That was about Palace's only real chance of the first half. But otherwise, you know, we had the early chance for Benikofobe, which unfortunately put over, and then the very well-worked goal. I mean, we pressed them high, Matt, and I mean, worked an opportunity. It was put away, you know, put away well by Benikofobe. So to get in front, given their, you know, I mean, I don't know what the cost of our squad would be. I mean, maybe one player of Crystal Palace's side would equal the amount of money that we've invested in our side recently. So there is a vast difference. I think where it really came out for me was the start of the second half. When they turned it up a gear, they moved the ball and passed it well, and they found you know, space on that right side, number seven. I remember doing a lot of damage on us, and that's what quality can do to you. Not for very long, but enough to get themselves in front.
Well, how many chances can you count on one hand that Palace had
from your memory. All I can really remember is the two goals, if anything.
Two goals. They hit the post. Hit the post as well, didn't they?
They did hit the post, yeah.
I mean, he was the seven. I can't. Is it Michael?
Elise, yeah. He's a Reading last season.
I thought he looked quality. I mean, certainly exposed our left side of our defence, and you know, I think he made Matt Scott Malone look a little bit lost and lonely on the left side there, because you know, unfortunately, it was a critical period to concede so soon after half time, having done well to get ourselves in front, Matt, and it hurt, didn't it? I mean, I thought at one point it might go bad on us, because I thought that we were in danger of really, you know, conceding more. But actually, we did well to and it was one of the positive points I wanted to take out of today's game, was the fact that we didn't collapse. There was no cricket score. We actually clawed our way back into a game that by rights was getting away from us, and then went close at the end. There's a lot to take away from today's performance, I feel. I don't know if I'm being, you know, happy clappy on the Kool-Aid, but I left the den feeling positive, and it's an odd feeling in a defeat.
Yeah, I know you tend to sort of take things as they are, which is sort of probably sensible, but what I took from this game was if you take the sort of the difference in spending, and I don't want to keep mentioning it, because it's obviously a one-off cup tie. It shouldn't be a case of we should have to justify losing a game because of money, but in terms of effort, we absolutely more than made up for that gap in sort of quality with effort. We just fell short, and I feel like if Murray Wallace and Jeb Wallace both play, I feel that maybe it's a different game. Because if you consider the two goals that Palace score, they come down our left hand side. It's glaringly obvious that this Elise, even from playing against him last season, it's glaringly obvious that he's a left-footed player that plays on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
He clearly wants to come in on that left foot, and it is a wonder of a left foot. And you let him do it once in the, you know, within 90 seconds of the second half starting. All right, well, you've learnt your lesson, surely. But then...
Yeah, to do it again, yeah.
But it happens again for the goal. But even before that, I seem to remember about 3 or 4 minutes after their equaliser, it happened again, and he curled one just wide. And I thought, I was just sitting there thinking, is Wallace not on the bench? Like, I was trying to wrap my brains thinking, is Murray Wallace not there? Because Malone was clearly just standing off him and offering him sort of inside. And obviously it paid off for them, because he ends up putting one straight on the centre forward's head.
To
win them the game.
Scott Malone, great player going forwards.
There
is meant to be a defensive role in there, Scott, if you're listening to the show. I love what you do going forwards.
I don't want to criticise him too much, because he's last season he was excellent for us. And as you say, attacking wise, I think if there's a position for Scott Malone, I think it's as a left midfielder or a left winger.
I agree.
I can see why you'd play him as a wing back, because he can sort of get a bit of both. But I think his defensive duties are fairly abandoned when he plays as part of a defence, and it's especially when you haven't got a left sided centre half like Murray Wallace to cover him. He sort of was shown at fault today, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Murray Wallace, apparently his partner's just had a baby, so I think we can probably wish him well and wish he'd been there today. But you know, there's bigger things,
of course,
than a third round cup tie. But there we are. We did miss him today, I felt, which is a tribute, incidentally, Matt, to the amount of work and effort and sheer desire for self improvement that Murray Wallace has put in over his career. Because you know, he came to us as pretty much a, I think it was Scunthorpe he came from, wasn't it, originally? And it's not a player of any standing, and yet there he is. We're bemoaning his loss today. So, you know, that speaks volumes. And of course, the other Wallace is Jed, and we've had this kind of soap opera of the Jed Wallace transfer. Is it or isn't it? Beşiktaş or is it Nottingham? And you know all this kind of stuff. It'll be nice. I feel it would be nice. Interested to know what you think. I feel it'd be nice to get that sorted one way or the other, because one other positive point that came out of the loss today was the late introduction of Tyler Bury, who looked really attractive as a winger. And I also enjoyed today's Shay Ojo's performance. I've seen one or two online not liking him so much, but I don't know what they were looking at today. So I thought he actually is improving game by game, and today was one of those improvements. How did you see those two boys?
So in terms of Ojo, my main criticism of him can be that at times he's not the same type of winger as what we've got at the club. He's not like a Conor Mahoney or a Jed Wallace that will look to take on their man. He seems to be a very good player in a counter-attacking system that gets the ball up the pitch quickly and can win fouls to get us up the pitch. I don't see him... it's a bit weird to say, because the way I'd sort of suggest it is he's not an attacking threat, but he is, in a sense, his best, as I've just sort of stated, his best attribute is carrying the ball up the pitch from defensive situations and getting us sort of 20, 30 yards up the pitch into the opposition's half and buying fouls. I thought he was absolutely excellent today. I thought he was superb. I thought the only person that would sort of pip him to man the match was Danny Mack.
Yeah, I was going to come to that man of the match. I mean, I've, I'm sure every one of the 15,000-odd Millwall fans in the stadium today would name-check Danny Mack, because he was on fire today. I think that's where you do want Millwall players out there, don't you? You know, he's a Millwall boy, and he knew what it meant to take it to Crystal Palace, and we saw that today. I also put down Tom Bradshaw. Actually, I think the first half he put a lot of hard work in, and he's a player that is another one of the better stories of the season. Really, to see him improving. I like the fighting spirit of the side, Matt, because you know you can argue on the one hand it's another half-time lead given away in the second half, but I don't put this in the same category as Peterborough and Bristol. The second half, we were kind of knocked back on our feet a little bit by the pace and power of Palace at the start of the game, at the start of the half anyway. But then we did have enough spine to take it back to them, and we came close. I mean, it would have been a fairy tale if Nana Boateng had put the ball in the net, wouldn't it? Late in the in the, I think, 85th minute or something like that, when that ball came in.
Yeah, so I think you've made a good point there in terms of it wasn't a sort of capitulation like Peterborough.
No.
However, you've got to say, how many times are we going to get a crowd like that at the Den this season in particular? I say to people all the time, if we had a full house like we did today that are properly on the opposition's back, I feel like we'd have a good chance of going up.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't know why I sit sometimes in the stadium listeners and I think of these things, but my initial kind of thought when they said it was a 12:45 kickoff was, oh blimey, I don't like early kickoffs. But actually, it's a nice balance, because the chaps in the stadium today had clearly had a drink, but they had so much drink they were soporific. They weren't falling asleep on it. They were nicely angered. It was just on the right side of it. I wonder whether 1 o'clock kickoffs are the way forwards for us, but that's probably a side point. I know what you mean. I mean, the next game is Nottingham Forest, I think, at home, isn't it? It'll be the next fixture. Be interesting to see how many are there for that one, as against today. It was always going to be a
big be interesting catch, to see if Jed will be there as well.
Yeah, and who's he playing for? I do think it's something that needs settling. If he's going to move, okay, don't like it, wished he was staying, but let's get it done, because I think the longer the soap opera drags on, the more it's a diversion. Because what I really want to say to listeners, and I don't know if you agree with this, Matt, is that today and the performance overall, I accept we got beat, but I thought today showed a lot of positives, and there will be life after Jed Wallace has moved on, because we've got some good young kids. And we didn't see enough of Nana Boateng today. It would have been lovely if he put that ball in the net. Mm-hmm. But certainly I saw, we've seen a little touch of Tyler Bury previously, and he looks like he's really improved up there at Hartlepool. I want to see him more.
Well, you know what? I watched a lot of the games in the lockdown. And as I'm sure most people know, Bury sort of got 10, 15 minutes sparsely across the season. And you know what? Every time he came on, he impressed me. He seemed like a bit of a live wire. I don't know whether it's his sort of his gangly frame or because he's a bit of a unit. Isn't he? He's about 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
He's not your conventional winger in the sense that he's not like your Jeb Wallace, your 5'10", nippy. He seems to be one of those that be quick over long strides. And every time he came on last season, he impressed me. So I was completely shocked when he went to Hartlepool, to be honest. I thought he'd be a League One club rather than a team just promoted from the National League. But he went to Hartlepool. He rips it up, didn't he? And unfortunately, got injured. But I think just his little cameo today has shown that he's got some worth to this squad.
Absolutely. I'm just, as you're speaking, I'm just reading some of the tweets today. Jake Sanders says, great to see Tyler Bury back in a Millwall shirt. He thought he really made a difference late on with his pace and confidence to get back. Would be great to see him get further chances. But worst case, he needs to go back on loan to a higher level in League Two. I'd like to see him stay for the season. I think if we're going to sell Jed Wallace, it's great to see some of our creative players stay. I mean, I don't know what the position is regarding Conor Mahoney, Matt. I mean, it's fascinating thing in a way, but it doesn't seem favoured for some reason. So if not, you know, Ojo and Tyler Bury on as two wingers, well, I might be dreaming of the 1980s again, mightn't I? With that kind of... There's one here I just want to run past you. I mean, I won't go too deeply into this, but Luke Stallard says, probably a very popular and unpopular opinion, but George Saville was brilliant today before he was injured. I think we did miss him a little bit. He was crunching some of the tackles in midfield, and it was one of George Saville's better games this season for me too. How did you see him?
His best attribute is his energy, isn't it? He's one of those, obviously, he had that season for us, didn't he, where he got 10 goals. And he seems to be popping up here, there, and everywhere. But his main, and I guess you can sort of recognise this from that season. But his best trait is his ability to just sort of pop up out of nowhere. And he seems to do the dirty work really well without getting noticed. And I feel like Ryan Leonard's in the same boat as well. When he plays, especially he starts to get more credit for it recently. I thought Saville was excellent stopping
Hughes.
And the thing you've got to remember is I don't know if this was a sort of a tactical mistake from out. We were outnumbered in that midfield because they played. I'm being stupid now. I've just realised. So they played a three in midfield of they played Conor Gallagher, the boy that was at Charlton.
Yeah.
With Hughes and Jeffrey Slutt as well, he played in there. So we were outnumbered in that midfield at all times. So Saville and Mitchell had a lot of work to do. And I thought overall Mitchell's passing was, you know, a little bit sloppy at times, but I thought the ground that them two covered, they were outstanding.
Yeah, I agree. I sometimes think that Billy just the game is played at very high tempo. And I just think he's got to tune his mind into be at that higher tempo. I mean, he's not far off of it. But I think you're right. I think he was just a little bit caught today. I mean, just looking at Jack Clark's post here, Mitchell played very well, but takes too many touches, needs to release the ball quicker. He also mentions George Long in goal. I thought George did a good job today. I don't think he could have done much about either of the goals, to be fair to him, Matt, did you?
Pretty solid, wasn't he? Yeah. I mean, my only issue from watching him before, and this goes back to just League Cup games against Cambridge in the early rounds. He's a left-footed goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And if you're a defender like, you know, say Jake Cooper, how used to it are you going to be in terms of playing the ball to the left-hand side of the keeper rather than the right of Bart, who's played there for 2 or 3 years? I sort of do get a bit nervous when I see the ball going back because I wonder where it's going to end up. But I have to say, I thought George Long's putting a good claim to challenge Bart, who's obviously he's made the mistake at Bristol City, hasn't he? But
yeah,
and obviously question marks will be raised from that. Personally, I don't think that, you know, he should be challenged for that number one shirt as of yet, because he's been fucking fantastic for a long time now. But you can see why the question can be asked, and George Long did absolutely everything he could today. There's nothing he could do about the goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, you've got to commend him for that, because he signed for us 6 months ago, probably expecting to be in and around the first team by now. Otherwise, you know, why would you have signed?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was solid today, and fair play to him. If he gets a crack against Forest on Saturday, I wouldn't have any qualms about it whatsoever.
Fingers crossed we can take some of the atmosphere. I mean, I'm just going to close us now with a wonderful tweet by the Black Friday Agreement. You know who you are out there, the Black Friday Agreement. He knew that it was going to be a proper Mill atmosphere today, Matt, when he saw 20 coppers on the door of the Five Bells pub. As for the game, 10 out of 10 for effort. But we were missing three key players, showing how threadbare our squad is. It was a proper Millwall atmosphere today. And I always think if you can get, you know, you can't get past the third round game really without an FA inquiry. So we'll see what becomes of that. Oh dear, great stuff. On to Nottingham Forest. Well done, Millwall, today, but just not quite good enough. Huge thank you to Matt for joining our show. I'll let you get on with your evening. I'm going to go have my dinner now, Matt.
Yeah, not a problem. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk again soon, mate. All the best.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.